This is the Agricultural Economics Podcast at Purdue University. I'm your host, Jessica Eyes, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing well, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, we haven't done one of these podcasts in a long, long time.
It's been a dry spell here over the summer.
I don't know what happened, but you know what? I've been getting complaints from our listeners.
Apologies to our listeners.
I think we do owe them an apology for going most of the summer without a podcast.
Okay, well, we are here in full force.
We're back. So. And, you know, this is kind of a special one because, you know, one of the things that you accomplished over the summer was to publish a book with a co-author.
Indeed, I did.
And so we're going to kind of turn this around a little bit, just like you did on me a while back. And and you are going to be interviewed rather than interviewing today.
Oh, no, it's so much easier to interview.
So I have in front of me a copy of this this lovely book with the blue cover and a origami cow on the front. And the title, it says, The Communication Scarcity in Agriculture, authored by Jessica Eyes and Whitney Hoddy, and we have both Jessica and Whitney here with us. Hi, Whitney.
Hello.
It's good to have you here. Whitney just completed her master's degree in agricultural economics at Purdue. So tell me about the book. One of you explained to me where this book came from. Where did the idea come from?
So when I joined the department 2 years ago, I did not have a background in agriculture. But, you know, I had a master's in journalism. I thought I lived abroad, lived around. I thought I had a basic grasp on a lot of the pressing, you know, social issues, you know, issues important to our country. And I got here and I realized I really had no idea what was going on in agriculture. And a lot of the ideas that I had created in my mind were actually quite inaccurate. And I was stunned. And I was upset and worried because if I had those perspectives, then I know my peers had those perspectives outside of agriculture. And they weren't getting the on-the-job education that I was. And I had the idea of writing a book. And I met Whitney.
I think the discussion between us was that nothing like this had been done before. You know, everybody in the department was aware of the issue. People in agriculture are aware of the issue, frustrated by the issue about communications and people's perception about agriculture. But nobody, it hadn't been documented. I mean, there's an endless number of books about agriculture out there. And, you know, a few of them good, many of them not. Many of them sharing a lot of, I think, scary and misinformation about agriculture. But there wasn't, nobody had acknowledged that we have a communications problem. And I think that that was why both Jessica and I decided that this was a really important book and a really important project to pursue.
So I really like this title because, you know, I'm an economist and communication scarcity in agriculture. I mean, you know, economics is the study of scarcity. Is that where the title came from? Were you thinking like economists when you
actually
came up with that title?
Or? I don't know. Were we? I
don't. We went through a lot of rounds of titles.
Yes, we probably went through 10 or 15 titles before settling on this one.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But I will say something that we write in our introduction is that you may look at this title and you may think, oh, gee, there's really not a scarcity of talk around agriculture and food, which is true. There are a lot of people talking about agriculture and food, but it's not the right kind of communication between groups of people. So you might have a lot of people in agriculture talking about food and agriculture, and you might have a lot of consumers talking amongst themselves about food and agriculture, and these different groups and academics talking amongst themselves about food and agriculture, but it's that exchange of information between these groups where that scarcity is really happening.
So Whitney, where do you think the breakdown in terms of this kind of communication is coming from? I mean, because there is lots of dialogue, so why isn't the kind of communication that you want to foster happening?
People are looking to the easiest information source for them to learn about agriculture, and we think about what that is, and it's food labels, it's advertisements on the TV, it's peers. A lot of this information is just too abbreviated, and it doesn't appreciate the complexities of many of the issues that are out there. And I think people are just, they just want answers. They look maybe to the wrong places, and they don't look to academics and science for their answers.
It seems like the multiplier effect on misinformation is really ramped up in today's environment with social media and the speed with which a piece of misinformation can spread before before scientists or academics or whoever might be able to set the record straight can even intervene with it.
That's true, and I really would also say that on top of that, our culture today is one of polarization and jumping back into your camp before you talk to the other person. I don't even need to say it, but it's obviously rampant in our politics. But it's a trickle-down effect, right? And you're seeing it in a lot of different areas, and it applies to food and agriculture as well. You hear something, and before you give the other person the benefit of the doubt, or before you think, oh, maybe I should get the full story, or I wonder if I should talk to that person first, you just immediately associate them as being the enemy, right? The bad guy. And you disparage them being evil or out to get you, or you disparage the other side as being stupid or misinformed or crazy, and then before you know it, you're in your two separate camps, and it's really hard to bridge that divide, and it's really hard to change your opinion because you've cemented it into this strong state in your head.
So is your book targeted then at both sides of this debate on food and agriculture? And who do you consider to be your prime target audiences?
It's both sides. I think our target audience is young people interested in the issues, also people like us who are also sort of confused by why is this happening? Why is it going on? Why is there this disconnect? People who are new to agriculture, interested in the food system, maybe young professionals wanting to get into agriculture, or students. But also, I think everyone can enjoy this book. Academics will appreciate it. I think farmers will greatly appreciate it. So it's a pretty wide audience.
Yep. And we really wrote it in such a way that it's heavily cited and researched, but it's also written in such a way that it takes the reader through in a quick, very understandable way. The book is separated into three clear sections. The first section is a bit in the sense of making the case, right? So we use these five really prominent examples of miscommunications that are happening across the field, because they're serious, they're economic, people are losing their jobs, it's damaging people's health, etc. And then we jump into the second section, which is where we really analyze the problem in more depth, and we pull out four themes that are causing a lot of these problems, and then we conclude with our recommendation of our approach towards this issue, which is just a general reorientation of how we look at this situation, and something of a personal challenge to each reader to seek common ground with the other, whoever that other is. If you're a farmer, that other is the consumer. If you're a consumer, that other is the farmer. If you're an academic, that other, the policymaker, on and on.
We interviewed so many different people in agriculture, in academia, in agricultural policymaking, and we really put together the themes, the examples, based on what we were hearing from them. The examples are the food babe communicating bad science, Chipotle, their marketing efforts. And then the subject of GMOs, I think we did not have one interviewee who didn't discuss the issue about people's understanding of GMOs.
As somebody who's read the book, just, for our listeners, one of the neat things about the book are these voices of individuals from all spectrums of involvement in the food and ag industry, providing their points of view on these issues that you raise up, and that I think kept the book engaging from my point of view, and I think readers will appreciate hearing from these people who are some of them very prominent names, recognizable people in our society, some of them people that are just average farmer or consumer individual who's out there with a point of view that matters as a part of our food system. So just to close it down here, if you wanted to give our listeners one, sort of takeaway message, what they can do to improve communication in agriculture, what would you say to them?
You read something or you're talking to someone and they say something that makes you upset, ask just one question before forming your opinion. Ask them, what makes you feel that way?
Great way to open the door to other people's ideas. Mm-hmm. Whitney, any thoughts?
Is it a problem that consumers don't understand agriculture? And I think we really had to think about that a lot and answer that question. And the answer is yes, it is a problem. It's a problem that we're not understanding each other. And we do need to have greater awareness about this issue.
All right, folks, the book title is The Communication Scarcity in Agriculture. It's published by Routledge, and the authors are Jessica Ives and Whitney Hoddy. And I encourage you to take a look at this book. It's available on Amazon and I'm sure through other venues. This has been the Agricultural Economics Podcast, and thank you for listening to us.